Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're sitting here in a beautiful place and we're bringing to you the best podcast you've ever listened to.
Yeah, for sure. It's fire. It's fire. Welcome to Bread and Bride podcast. This is the first installment of Freedom Chat Series. And Freedom Chat Series is about, what is it about?
Well, it will be about what we are made up of, really, because we are sharing our perspectives on like different topics throughout the podcast, and the topic of freedom is the one we're starting with. Why we're starting with it?
Well, I think it's obvious because Bread and Braai is South Africa meeting Germany, or Germany meeting South Africa. So in the context of South Africa celebrating its 30th anniversary of democracy this year, which is 2024, the topic, conversation and discussions around democracy is very relevant. Also, next month we are heading to polls and elections. So yeah, I think it's very interesting and relevant that we start with this topic and discuss issues around freedom, issues around democracy, and issues around elections, yeah, and things like this.
Beautiful. And I mean, bear in mind, it's all coming from like our personal perspectives. And, you know, we're just a German and just a South African that happened to meet. And we both have our experience in the other country. You know, Sandita's living in Germany right now. Yeah. I'm in South Africa for quite a bit of the year. And I got to know this beautiful country.
Sure.
So, yeah. And like to say a little bit about where we are right now.
Yeah.
Because this is not a random place. This is not the side of the road anywhere, you know. It's a special place that we were looking for. And yeah, I'm happy to invite you to tell the people a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah, sure. No, we are right in the heart of Sisenanda. This is Inanda Umzinyathi. But I think to give a much broader understanding, this is part of the greater eThekwini municipality, which is Durban. So yeah, we are 30 kilometers away from the city center of Durban, and we are in the outskirts of Inanda. Mzinyathi, Eskepen, I think locals will know Eskepen, Ekhaya, KwaMaphumulo. That's where we are. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so this is the place, actually, if I'm not wrong, Miss, you can correct me, but this is the place where you grew up, right?
I grew up here, for sure. I started school, working the primary school, which is just a few, you know, steps from here. That's where I did my primary school, and then graduated there, then I went to Mkhawe High School, and yeah, so yeah, my whole young life happened here.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much for you know, providing the space for us to start up today.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and well, let's try to jump into, you know, the topic that we were thinking about. Like, you know, what did it mean for you to grow up here, and how maybe did the expression of freedom change for you throughout the years?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a very nice question that, you know, begs one to really reflect on this thing, this big topic of democracy, because I mean, my family moved to this place in 1998, and then at that time I was like 6 years old. So I mean, when I say my life literally started here, is because, you know, I don't have much of memory pre that period, and that was early days of democracy. If you do your math, it was 4 years into it. And since then, one has seen much of transformation or development and change. The issue of, you know, community getting electrified, the issue of water projects getting community piped and people getting water from their taps.
Okay, hang on, one thing. Yeah. You said the community getting electrified. You mean the providing of electricity?
Yeah. Sure. Electrification. I think yeah. It's electrification. Yeah. So we get the community. I mean, when we got here in 1998, the projects had already started. Yeah, and then water came later. So the early days, we would use the rivers here and maybe boreholes, communal boreholes and things like this. But later in the year, I think around 2000, later in the years, around 2003 or early 2000s, then you had water projects coming in. I remember the then president, Tombeki, launched this project. He was in this community just a few houses away from here. We saw all of these things happening. We saw roads getting tarred, you know, or even some new roads getting to be constructed, and many other infrastructural projects took place. So I think that is one side of it, you know. I mean, if I think about this community, but. It's been a very long time, right? So much has happened from 2003 to this point. So we are now celebrating 30 years. And I think some of the things that I've mentioned earlier that I say, well, we were good indicators of growth. They were good indicators of development. Some of them are now gone. I mean, if you talk about electricity now, there is load shedding. So you don't know if you don't feel confident to talk about that as something.
Can I just ask a question? Because I'm sure some people who are not familiar with South Africa or have never been here, they might ask themselves, what is he talking about now? He says load shedding.
Well, load shedding is a very bad story about our country. Is power cuts. So from time to time, you would have a situation where lights go off for 2 hours, sometimes 4 hours per day, and when times are really tough, it goes even for 6 hours or 8 hours. So that's, I think, the explanation that we get from government is that the demand now is too high, and the infrastructure that's supposed to be providing us is aging, and there's a lot of technical issues. I mean, I know that sometimes there are many explanations, and we don't know exactly what is it. Sometimes they'll tell you that there is not enough coal. Sometimes the coal is wet, or sometimes someone is just sabotaging the system and all of that. But yeah, in simple terms, it's just power cuts that happen from time to time. So I was explaining that you have that situation now that you don't know if you talk about positives of the development since the democracy, is electricity one of those things? Because we kind of don't have electricity now. Also with water, there's also a serious problem of water in this community and many other communities at Etegwini and across the country, I believe. So we are heading to something like water shedding now, where you don't have water the best way you're supposed to have them. I think the system that is working now is the system of water, you know, what do you call them, the trucks that have water? Yeah, now you have a situation in many communities, not only in this community, where you have trucks that come and people have to bring their big containers and put water there. I mean, that is a not good story. It's negative, but I do remember a situation where we had to go to the rivers to get water, and then there was a transformation on that regard where you had water coming out from your tap, and then 10 years after that, now we are going back. So it's a mixed. It's so dynamic, you know, things that have been happening or things that are happening.
Yeah. And what would you say, like, you know, if you try to connect this now, like, I mean, you know, when Mandela was first elected, you know, first democracy in South Africa, like, everything was about freedom. Like, you know, that was the thing that people were also fighting for, and that was what the struggle was about. And if you now connect this, like, those infrastructure things with freedom, like, what do you make out of it? Like, what does water and electricity have to do with freedom? Does it?
Interesting question. And I say this because one may argue that I am off tracking. You know, when you ask me about freedom and you ask me about democracy, and then I talk about water and then I talk about electricity. But I think these things are linked. You know, because water is a human right, it's a basic human right, so is electricity. And democracy, the struggle for democracy was about recognition and respect of all basic human rights. So it was not only about just getting people to vote, but it was saying, all citizens of South Africa must have equal access to opportunities, to services, and all of that. And it's about that. These things are linked, and I'm pointing out areas where I think the government is not doing so great. You also know about the issue of housing. Of course, we are at the rural part of the country, or semi-rural, where housing projects are not so big as they are in informal locations, where the need for formal housing is more urgent. But also those issues of housing, they are part of ensuring the dignity of people, and ensuring that people basic rights are met and are protected. So but on the issues of freedom, which now talks to Black people having rights to go to vote, to be part of a government, and all of that. Of course, I think we are doing good on that part, but there are challenges as well on those areas. I think we are having a general discussion where we are just opening these, touching on these many topics. I hope that we, on the upcoming series, on the upcoming episodes, we kind of find a way to talk about one particular topic, because just when you talk about, you ask me about political freedom in a general sense, I would give South Africa a very big stars on that, you know. But just before we started now, I was on my phone, and then I saw a tweet from someone on Twitter, and he was asking a question that is, our freedom free, or is our democracy free if you have to pay $750,000 to register a political party? I mean, that's interesting, right? And I think those are issues that one can deal with, specifically when we are looking at issues around political freedom and things like this. But I do believe that, and I in my own observation, I believe that South Africa is doing right in terms of ensuring that a democratic system, in terms of electing government every now and then, every after 5 years. I'm very happy on how South African government through IEC have been staging elections every after 2 years. It's actually every after 2 years if you think about the local elections that you get to have in between. There we are not struggling much on those issues in terms of people contesting the results and the people fighting or killing each other. It does happen, but it's quite manageable. I'm confident on how we do on that, and I do feel that it's a very radical. There's a radical shift on that since 1994, before 1994, because when I talk to my parents and then I ask them about the situation before, they tell me ugly stories. You know, they tell me ugly stories.
Yeah, of the time of the apartheid.
Before democracy. Yeah.
But like, I mean, you know, I'm also interested in hearing, like, you know, for you. I mean, you know, you're of course part of a bigger society, you know, and we've been kind of touching that bigger part of like South Africa and the democracy now. But like, it's also very interesting to me to also hear, like, for you personally, because, like, I mean, what does it actually mean for you now? Like, do you feel free now? You know, I mean, you're moving also between two countries in a way. You get to know how to, I mean, navigate another country and other ways of doing things, maybe even other perceptions of freedom. I mean, you know, I'm sure, like,
yeah,
you know, our definition of freedom is a very different one, you know, because of the background and the experiences that we as an individual have been making in our lives.
Yeah.
So like now in 2024, you know, if I ask you now in this very instant, like, do you feel free? And why or why not?
I do feel free, and my chicken is agreeing with me there.
Yeah.
I do feel free. I do feel free. But I don't think that that is the reality for most people in this country or in this community. I do feel that I am privileged than some of my peers and people that I grew up with, but I also do get I still face challenges where I think, okay, I wish I was freer than this. I mean, I think the reason why I'm in Germany as an international student, it's linked to the idea of wanting to become more freer in terms of, I mean, if South Africa was as good as Germany in terms of development, I don't think I would be in Germany, right? But also, it takes some level of freedom, you know, to be able to dream to go to Germany or to be even able to go there. So yeah, but I want to say I believe that in South Africa is a free country and I do feel free, but what is freedom without water? I mean, those are the questions that come again. What is freedom without electricity? What is freedom without employment? You know, I mean, if you are unemployed, mm-hmm. Are you free? Are you free if you can't access education and empower yourself and become a better version of yourself? So it's that struggle. And mm-hmm. I know many people who have access to all of these things, and they then we can say they are free, but they also struggle because you have your cousin, you have, and those people are you, you know, they are part of you. So sometimes it's not about me, but it's about my friends and family enjoying this thing together. So if it's only me who's enjoying this, then you don't feel like this is it. So yeah, I think the question of freedom is complex in my mind or in my context, that I can feel that, you know, I can do this and that, but I don't get to appreciate it more when a thought of my friend who, you know, couldn't afford this and that education comes to my mind. But also when Vaterkan, we call them, these trucks, when they come mm-hmm. and now I think of a community 15 kilometers away from here, which gets it one of them to tap, and then I have to struggle with these other things. And I'm like, is this... So mm-hmm. it's not complete. I would say I feel free, but it's not complete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because of these issues. Because of these issues. I remember one more part. I always like to say this: the issue there was once a movement on data must fall, because there was this thing about data costs being too high,
mm-hmm.
and there was.
Connect to the internet for the community.
I mean, internet is a luxury in most of communities in South Africa, and when you think about freedom in terms of freedom of speech, which is not just the ability for you to say something, but also an ability for you to access something. So people who don't have data and can't access information from the internet, they are denied their freedom of speech, you know. And it's those things. I know, I mean, maybe I don't struggle with data myself, but I know many people who do, and they are denied their right to access information and get to know what's happening in and around their own, you know, yeah. spaces and country and that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like an interesting topic, like for me to look upon from the German perspective
for
as
sure.
well.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you know, the way I grew up, there was, well, you know, I haven't even thought about water being there, about electricity being there. It was there all the time, you know.
Exactly.
There was no shortage of anything. But I wasn't even aware that it, you know, that I have it, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, sure.
So like, being thankful for what's there is also like very interesting a thing. But like internet, you know, as you're mentioning data, internet connection, I mean, you know, because you're there in Germany as well, but you walk a city and there's like free Wi-Fi in the cities, people can connect, most of the people, they have a phone as well to do that, so that is no problem at all, you know.
Yeah, sure. And that's where you realize, you know, what a privilege it is. It's just like when you get here and you were very, you know, interested about seeing chickens and goats and all of that. That is something that, you know, I don't think about when I get up. I'm just going with my life and I think, you know, this is just how it's supposed to be. And then, but when you come and you appreciate this, and then it comes to my mind that, okay, I mean, this is something, you know. So I think you are right. I mean, that as you reflect that you grew up this just being something, and it must be a shocker to you that in South Africa and maybe in some other parts of the world, this is something that politicians must promise voters.
Yeah.
They say, we'll provide you water, vote for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this shouldn't be a politic. It shouldn't be a conversing issue. We shouldn't be conversing around water. We shouldn't be saying, we promise you water, we are promising you electricity.
It's the basic rights.
It should be basic. Yeah.
The opinion of every politician as well. I mean, like, who as a human being wouldn't say, I want to bring water to my community or to this other community and help people to live, basically.
Exactly. And and it's those things that you know, make it difficult for us to really assess this democracy project or this freedom project. Those are the issues to say, how do we comfortably assess this and have a very, you know, clear a position on it. But it is what it is. I think maybe now we can try to, as you have just started, try to bring German elements into the discussion. I think a nice way to get to this is for you to give us a background in terms of how did you get to know about Africa? Not to know about it from the map, from the news, but your first experience in South Africa, how did that come about, and take us to this point, of course, of what you have, experienced throughout.
Yeah, definitely. And I was even thinking about that part, because you just mentioned that part of if South Africa would be as developed as Germany, maybe I wouldn't be there.
Yeah, sure.
So for me now, it's very interesting, because right away I was thinking, well, but I'm coming from Germany to South Africa. And
yeah.
If you do this division.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
You estimate it like that, or it's very, interesting to now see, why am I coming to South Africa, see Germany as, so developed, and there's water, electricity, internet, and there's
sure.
The basic things fulfilled. Why would anyone do that?
Yeah, sure. That's something interesting about you, right? And many other Germans who are leaving Germany to explore other part of the world.
Yeah.
Of course, when South Africa was developed, I would still want to explore and travel and all of that, but I don't think that I would want to, say, okay, I'm leaving. Probably it's a personal issue for me, my family and all of that, people that I have here that I'm so attached to it. But I don't think, of course, I don't know, right? Because we are not there yet, but I was just highlighting it as well. But back to you, how did it start, your relationship with South Africa?
Well, I mean, I must say, I never thought much about the African continent, in the past, let's put it like that. I'm a studied teacher. I'm supposed to be in a school teaching English and music in Germany, right?
Yeah.
But I knew, because of my other travels in other parts of the world, that I've always wanted to, explore and get to know other communities and get to know other styles of living. So when the opportunity for me came along, I applied as to be a volunteer here, and that's how I first came here. That was in Durban in South Africa, right? So same place that we are right now, not far from here actually.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And that's also how we got to know each other, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
First thoughts about coming here and my first Google researching about it. Oh my God, My parents, they were like, oh my God, this is going to be very, very dangerous for you.
Yeah, sure.
You have to watch your, there's the chicken. You have to get your injections to be health-wise protected,
you
have to check what's around there. They're dangerous animals. That rooster is definitely not
there.
I think he wants to say something,
or maybe can I just chase them away?
Okay.
It's okay.
They can
be part of the conversation, and they tell us how they feel about freedom too.
Yeah, maybe they have something to say.
And they have something to say. Sure.
My first thoughts of coming here were really should I really, do it? But, in my heart, I was always sure it's gonna be like that. My thoughts about coming here were even different. I thought I was going to be in a cultural place for my work,
sure.
But I was not. So lots of things actually changed.
Happened.
But I'm I think that's also kind of my character, to be wanting to do other things, new things, and get to know
flexible.
Things that I don't know yet. Of course, there's always some fears around it as well. I'm not saying I'm not, scared sometimes of things. But I think that's part of, whatever we're experiencing in life, in work, in whatever.
Yeah.
So, this coming to South Africa, was connected with a lot of thoughts. Then I came here, of course.
Sure. to do voluntary work. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a volunteer in the municipal office here for 1 year. And the first interesting cultural thing that I would like to mention is the fact that in the lunch break, I couldn't go to have lunch by myself. You know?
Wow.
I wasn't allowed to walk outside
by yourself. Crazy. Because
my colleagues were saying, no, it's like much too dangerous for you.
And that is Guamash, where? So, for context. Yeah.
For the people who know the region.
Yeah, sure.
So that was hard for me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, you know, I mean, I've traveled the world, I've been in all those places, and now someone, I was 27 years old by that time.
Yeah.
Someone is telling me I can't go and find my lunch here right in front, you know?
And that's freedom, again, to say, with so much high levels of crime, how do we, you know, really get to understand and be comfortable around this concept of freedom? Are we free if we can't just walk alone on the streets for just to grab lunch? During the day, I mean, it's all about during the day. And we're not saying that we should be scared at night or crime should happen at night, but, well, I mean, during the day, that's when it must be much safer because there are people around, there's lights and everyone can see what's going on. But, yeah, that's the context. But I asked you this question because there's this part of German system of voluntary services that you get to do just to you know, go outside your country and explore. I mean, that's very, I don't know how you reflect on it, but that's privilege, right? How do you reflect on that privilege? Because we talk about free access to education in South Africa. I mean, education is, the issue of free education in Germany is not a question. There's free education, but after education, you can still go outside Germany in any place of your choice and have life and meet Sandile Maphumulo and other people and, you know, make friends and all of that. But how do you reflect on that privilege?
Maybe like also to clarify, I mean, it is there, you know, the opportunity is there, but it's like also, like, I mean, it's still not a voluntary service you sign up for and then you get sent and that's it, you know, it's like something you apply for and then they choose you and depending on which organization you're with, you're chosen or not, you know, so it's still like a little bit like a job interview as well, but of course, you know, I know what you're aiming at. We see a lot of people from the northern hemisphere to go somewhere in places of the southern hemisphere to do voluntary work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the next thing is the question, what about the other way around? And why does it take place like this? And not so much the other way around.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, we know that it does take place the other way around because, as I know, you've been volunteer yourself.
Yeah,
Germany,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
So that's a very interesting question. I mean, volunteer service is like, I mean, it raises the question about volunteer service itself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Does it make sense? Does it not make sense for me, like personally? Because, like, yeah, I can only reflect on what I experienced. I mean, without me doing the volunteer service back then, I would not have that connection to South Africa now. You know?
For sure,
It couldn't have happened that way.
It could have happened, yeah.
And I am a big proponent, I think you say, a big
advocate.
Advocate, yes, thank you. For the connection between cultures.
Yeah, sure.
And I am aware that there's like, you know, those power differences and that's something that needs to be discussed and needs to be also taken in mind and, you know, Like, why do many Germans, for example, have the opportunity to do something like this, and not so many South Africans have the opportunity to do something like
this? Yeah, yeah.
So, but for me personally, I can only say, you know, it was the good thing to do. I wasn't here to tell anyone how to live their life or how to do things the better way. You know, I was here mainly to learn, you know, to learn, like, how are other people living their lives? How are other people doing their work? How are things being done? And there's, like, lots of different stories that are, like, ingrained in this. Maybe you will have the chance to explore some.
Yeah, sure.
It definitely felt like a lot of freedom, that's for sure, for me, you know. Yeah. It was a big part for me to be able to go out of my country, to do this, have this experience in South Africa.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's interesting. And I think what I wanted to highlight with this question is that the program itself is funded by government. So a very good part of it is, it comes from government, from flight and all of that. And it just talks about opportunities that some countries have. I think that's one thing that is highlightable for me when I think about such opportunities. But what is also interesting and what is always common about German culture, and I think that what makes it very relevant that Germany and South Africa got to be friends, is because we share a similar culture. I think it's very obvious that the apartheid system was highly inspired by Nazism, and I think that's where our background, our history interact, or that's where it shares commonalities. And